But let's pray before we get started this morning. Lord, we put ourselves into your hands again as we open your word and then come to the communion. And we ask that as each one of us sitting here or listening, you know where we are, you know how things are going, you know what we're struggling with, you know our joys and the things for which we're thankful, you know our expectations. And I just pray this morning that you will touch us and meet us and encourage us in one way or another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to get back to our Romans series until next Sunday. I think it's pretty much my habit, although I don't remember, but I think so, that on the first Sunday of the year to kind of do a New Year's type of sermon Sunday, just moving from one year to the next. So that's what I would like to do this morning, looking back just a little bit at the beginning and then looking ahead. And for looking back, I've chosen to read some pieces from Dave Barry's review of the year. Most of you know Dave Barry. I think he's quite a humorous columnist. He's been around for, I don't know, four decades, or just a really long time. So here's Dave Barry's year in review. It was published in the Washington Post from December 29. And these are just parts of it. It was an extremely eventful year. We are using eventful in the sense of bad. It was a year so eventful that every time another asteroid whizzed past the Earth, barely avoiding a collision that would have destroyed human civilization, we were not 100% certain that was good news. We could not keep up with all the eventfulness. Every day we'd wake up to learn that some new shocking alleged thing had allegedly happened. And before we had time to think about it, the political media complex, always in outrage condition red, would explode in righteous fury, with side A and side B hurling increasingly nasty accusations at each other and devoting immense energy to thinking up ways to totally destroy the other side on Twitter, a medium that has the magical power to transform everything it touches, no matter how stupid it is, into something even stupider. The epicenter of the year's eventfulness was, of course, Washington, D.C., an endlessly erupting scandal volcano belching out dense swirling smoke plumes of spin, rumor, innuendo, misdirection, and lies emitted by both sides. A and B, or if you prefer, B and A, filling the air with vicious rhetoric, always delivered with the pious insistence that our side, unlike the other side, is motivated not by ego, power, lust, greed, or hatred, but by a selfless desire to, quote, work for the American people. Meanwhile, from out beyond the Capitol Beltway, the actual American people warily watched the perpetual tantrum that was supposed to be their government, and more their reaction, whatever side they considered themselves to be on, was, nah. Which is pretty much how we feel about 2019 in general. And not just because of politics. There was a continued general decline of human intelligence, as epitomized by the popularity of increasingly elaborate gender reveal events. Originally, these involved simply cutting open a cake that had been dyed with food coloring, but they have escalated to the point where this year they resulted in, and we are not making this up, a fatal explosion and a plane crash. It's only a matter of time before a major city is leveled by a pink or blue mushroom cloud. In sports, the Los Angeles Rams win the National Football Conference championship game after the referees on a critical play fail to notice when a Rams defensive back attacks a New Orleans Saints receiver with a chainsaw. Responding to the ensuing outrage, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says he will conduct a thorough review of league policy regarding power tools, adding that, quote, New England is scheduled to win the Super Bowl anyway. As of last night, of course, we know that this year that's out of the question. In science news, because I know we have some scientists here, some astronomers at a party, after several rounds of tequila shots, take a blurry snapshot of a flaming gas stove burner and release it to the news media, claiming that it's the first ever photograph of a black hole. In sports, Simona Biles becomes the first gymnast to perform a floor routine that requires clearance from the Federal Aviation Administration. Meanwhile, concern mounts over the state of NFL officiating. Are you hearing a theme here? After a Lions-Packers game in which late in the fourth quarter, the teams play two consecutive downs without a single penalty being called. It won't happen again, said the commissioner. Tesla CEO Elon Musk introduces an all-electric Cybertruck featuring sophisticated technology and a striking resemblance to a doorstop. The best feature, Musk notes, is that, quote, when you're sitting inside it, you can't see it. Finally, mercifully, this highly eventful year draws to a close. As New Year's Eve approaches, the nation pauses to look back on 2019 and throw up a little bit in its national mouth. But then the nation looks forward to 2020 and it feels faint stirrings of hope in its national heart, because America has been bitterly divided before. There was the Civil War, for example, and that time we could not agree on the color of that dress on internet. If we got through those troubles, we can get through the current ones. Because in the end, despite our political differences, we're all Americans and we care about each other and want the best possible future for everyone, right? Nah. But Happy New Year anyway. When you look ahead, 2020, and Julie has already referred to that in a little bit, things can look pretty daunting. High in the news right now, of course, is the Middle East, aflame with war, with strong prospects of that getting worse. We're facing a pretty controversial election period coming up, and you know that things are going to get pretty dismal as these campaigns continue. The weather worldwide continues to get wilder. Australia, as you know, is virtually burning up. I saw some pictures again this morning of just, it's absolutely disastrous for many of the major cities of Australia. The national and global economy appears to be weakening a little bit, although there is fundamental strength. Recession talk is growing. The refugee crisis will grow as a result of war, violence, and environmental issues. The drug addiction epidemic doesn't look to be being relieved anytime soon, and the same is true, of course, for gun violence. When we as people, just as here individuals and families, look forward to 2020, it's only honest and realistic to say that we're probably going to face some difficulties. Some of us will face illness. Some of us will face or continue to deal with loss. Some of us will face financial uncertainty. Some of us are and will continue to face tensions in various relationships in which we find ourselves. Some of us will face school or job issues. All of us will just simply face the fact that we're getting older and things are changing. But I don't want to just be negative. When we look forward to 2020, it is absolutely true that national and international organizations, particularly charitable ones, will help an immense number of people using immense amount of money and millions of volunteers and workers. Writers, playwrights, artists, songwriters, painters, dancers, sporters will produce wonderful work. Medical personnel will save lives and reduce suffering. Our first responders, our police, our armies, our militaries will all do their jobs with competence. Environmentalists and technology will continue to develop renewable energy technologies. Teachers will teach, and students will learn. And some students will even move up to the next grade. Programs to help impoverished, marginalized people will continue and be effective. And that includes foster care agencies, adoptive agencies, both government and nonprofit. Individual heroes will emerge. We'll be able to look down at back at 2020 and say, what that person did, that was a heroic act. For many of us, 2020 will be a year of positive growth, learning, and change. Families will grow, finances will improve, good health will continue, or health will improve. Goals that we have set will be reached. What will happen to Trinity? I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. This wonderful community of people, I think, will continue in its basic strengths. We'll be there for each other. We'll care for each other. We'll conduct our services on Sunday and our Bible studies through the week. And we will know that if one of us has a need that can be met, it will be met. Will we grow? I don't know. Will we shrink? I don't know. Will we lose somebody? I don't know. I have no idea. We're looking ahead to 2020 realistically and optimistically as we can. And to help us do that, I'd like to read with you Psalm 46, which is a psalm that is very often read around this time of the year. I'm not going to spend tons and tons of time and go deep into every detail, and probably nothing that I'm going to say is going to be new to anybody. But I would just like to say it again this first Sunday of the year, because it really is God's word to us. So even as we read it, I would like you to just stop and remember that we're not just reading some old text, and we're not just doing a habit that we do every Sunday, or perhaps that you do every day or several times a week. As you listen to these words, I'd like you to think about God's voice, his word breaking into whatever's keeping you busy in your mind right now, and coming with a voice from above and saying something that's true and that really does and can change your life. So don't just read it or listen superficially. Listen to it as a word from God for you for the beginning of this new year. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And the image here that's presented is really this image of a castle, of a fortress, of a place where you can pull into and find yourself safe and a place in which if you're there, you really don't need to fundamentally fear. I want to make just a little comment here to say that fear in and of itself, as almost all of us know, is not a bad thing. If we're being threatened, it is proper and correct to feel fear because then you respond to the danger. Okay? So I'm not saying if you are fearful or concerned, if there are things that are really deeply unsettling to you for whatever reason, I don't want to suggest that it's wrong to have those feelings. But the Word of God comes and says, as human as you are in that fear and unsettledness that you have, please know that in the end, the final word of the story is that you will not be moved. There is nothing that can blow you out of this castle. Whatever your concerns are, whatever your fears are, whatever your worries are, whatever the things are that legitimately, deeply trouble you, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, and you will not be moved. That is his assurance. You will not be moved. An example of how this works, I think, is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that was the night before he died? You can go back to the previous slide, Christopher, thanks. Not quite ready. There we go. Thank you. He was there the night before he died, and he was so, I don't know if fear is the right word, but obviously just tremendously impacted by what was going to be happening to him, that his sweat was like drops of blood. There was no sin in that. But where he ended up was, Father, not my will, but your will. Whatever happens, I will not be moved because you are my fortress and my strength. And then the psalm touches on a whole variety of things that we've already again mentioned this morning that are happening in our world. And now you can move on, Christopher, to the next slide. We will not fear though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And these verses and this list of things covers just about everything on a worldwide scale that you can think of. Covers the environment. Though the mountains be moved, though the waters roar and foam, whatever happens to the creation. Covers politics, though the nations rage, and again, the last 3 days, our news feeds and our papers are filled with rage. Though the nations rage, and though kingdoms totter, and there's war on the earth, God breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the chariots. These are all instruments of war. All of these things are mentioned. And the message throughout all of them is, God is in the business of doing away with evil in all its forms and on all of its levels. He will speak. He will utter his voice. The earth will melt. He will make wars to cease. He will break the bow. He will shatter the spear. He will burn the chariots with fire. That's what he's about. That's what he's doing. That's what he did primarily and in a crucial turning point in Jesus, especially on the cross, when the back of evil was broken, cross and resurrection. The headlines of these days, the evil that's around us, locally, nationally, worldwide, will never have the last word. You can be assured of that in 2020. And then he goes on to this very famous verse at the end of the psalm. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And this word, be still, is not a word for taking a nap. Although naps can be great things. It's not passivity. It's a word that has the implication of it to cease from striving, to cease from trying to make things happen on your own. Oh. Good day for a sermon on hell. Thank you. Our first hero of the year. There we go. Be still. There's where we are. Okay, this idea of be still is, again, not the idea to take a nap. It's not passivity. It's stop your fighting, cease striving. Understand that God is going to do his work and let him do it, but also cooperate with him. And that's why I chose this picture. A statue of a beautiful young lady who exudes peace and calmness and quiet, but she does have a container in her hand, a cup or a something. She's serving. She's bringing it to somebody. She's doing something with it. So this be still and know that I am God, again, is not a call to withdraw. It's a call to get involved, but not the nervous, frenetic striving, like I am the one who has to do it and get it done. It's understanding that God is working and he's called me to participate with him, but the one who's going to do it is him, God himself. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. His kingdom will come. And again, there's this assurance, this bedrock assurance that his kingdom is coming. Every knee will bow, says the New Testament. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is King, and Caesar isn't, and the empire isn't, and no kingdom, and no president, and no king, and no prime minister is. Only Jesus. And then in conclusion, two places in the psalm, these words are used. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And here's the link to Christmas. The Lord of hosts is with us. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The story of Christmas, the story of Jesus, who came as a baby, who grew up as a little boy, who became a young man, who became a man, and who walked with us through every phase of life, who knows what it's like to be weak, to be hungry, to struggle, to sometimes not know things. Who knows what it's like to be tempted? Who knows what it's like to be attacked unjustly? Who knows what it's like to suffer? He is with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. As we go into this year, I want to encourage you in whatever ways you work for you to try to put this Jesus central, to look at Him, to gaze at Him, to see His grace and His glory. You see that in the Scriptures. You see that, of course, in the world around us. We see that in each other as we experience each other. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory, full of grace and truth. And we walk with Him and we go with Him through this year of 2020, whatever it will bring us. And then I conclude with these words from Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, this same Jesus. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in this passage from Luke 12, you see this thing that we've been talking about with being still. Jesus says on the one hand, do not worry. Everything's going to be taken care of. But then He does say, sell your possessions and give to the needy. See that combination there. Do not worry. Everything's going to be okay. But do not remain on the sidelines, because God has chosen to change the world through us. The Living Bethlehem this year, as Joseph, I have the opportunity together with Lisa to have kind of like the final conversation with the people that come through. And the theme that came out this year for me, and happened kind of spontaneously, was to be able to almost literally look these children, particularly the children, in the eye and say, this Jesus, this King, was born tonight. And He's King of the world. And because He came into this world and is King of the world, He is with you. And He will never leave you. It was a great message for Christmas Eve. And it's a great message for this beginning of 2020. Let's pray. Lord, help us to grasp this truth in new ways, to be impacted again by the realization of your power and your majesty and your goodness, and your working first by sending Jesus, but then by working through us to bring your kingdom into this world which you've made and which so desperately needs the peace that you've brought. So help us and encourage us and strengthen us, especially as we come to this communion table. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come